The Human Centric Podcast. The podcast all about the talents of today and tomorrow. Presented by Deutsche Telekom.
Welcome to the Human Centric Podcast. And in this episode, we continue to explore grassroots initiatives of Deutsche Telekom and how they started to live on their own and become a movement inside DT. And today we go deeper into international corporate influencer community of people. We have around 200 international people and actually 20 external people who are really passionate about the brand, who are really passionate about Magenta and how they share their love for the brand, for the culture, towards customers and towards the company. Inside Deutsche Telekom. I think it was one of the most funniest, cheeky, really revolutionary episodes we've ever done, Hanne, wasn't it?
Oh my God, yeah. It was like an episode of love. I can't wait to share this one.
It's a very special one. Listen up, people. Welcome to the Human Centric Podcast. And today we have a very special topic, and I would call it, it's a topic of Magenta people. And before I introduce the guests who are with me right now in the studio and with Hanne as well, hey, by the way, you know, hello to Oslo in Norway. I want to share my impressions when I joined the team. So it was 2018. I joined Deutsche Telekom and I got a big box of different goodies. And in there it was a book for my kids. You know, my mommy and daddy work in telecom, describing Magenta, describing telecom. And of course, a number of some, you know, t-shirts and clothes of Magenta color. And the more I worked with people, the more I started to hear Magenta blood, or it's Magenta. And it really took me some time to understand it's much more than a culture, and it's much more than a brand. Is something very, very unique and very special. And I'm very honored to share that movement that we have in the company. And we have two fantastic guests. I have Alexander Luhadin, the movement of Magenta Telecom Ambassadors. And we have Sia Brahimi, who is, by the way, our partner in crime for the podcast. And she's the Telecom Ambassador from international part from Greece. So off we go. Welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
It's so utterly lovely to have the both of you here. And I am so looking forward to getting into this topic that we have on the table today, because to take it like for dummies, so I'm looking from the outside in and I understand that Magenta is a color. But guys, take me through it. What is it that's actually happened here? What is this phenomenon called the Magenta Ambassadors?
Yeah, it's difficult to describe because one often says you have to feel it, yeah, and the best way to feel it is to meet people who feel this way. And that was the case how I also came to all this ambassador stuff. I met a guy and I thought he's completely crazy, but I was so much fascinated by the energy he was floating out or he was pushing out that it made me stick to it, yeah, to the Magenta spirit.
So- yeah. I'm going to kind of stop us right there because still you guys, you sound like you're a member of a weird sect. So yeah. I'm going to try and put some facts on the table for us. Yeah. And as far as I've understood, as of today, the company that we're all kind of underneath the umbrella of here, the Deutsche Telekom, they are actually counted as one of the most valuable brands on the planet. And within this company, with a couple of 100,000 employees, of course, we find this movement called the Magenta Movement or the Magenta Ambassadors. Am I correct so far?
Yes, right.
And now I want to take us to the idea that because this was not launched from like top management, this Magenta Movement actually didn't start from like the C-suite or the HR department asking for a movement. How did it start?
Yes, you are right. It was not, let's say, published by the organization or by the company itself. It was more a bottom-up, grassroots initiative. Yeah, that it grew up and that made it also so fascinating. Yeah, that so much energy came together, which looked like like kind of by accident. Yeah. But in the end, when you think more about the whole story, you think it makes more sense when you realize that also the company and the brand evolved over the last years to make it possible that people can identify so much with a brand or a company like this. And they also want to celebrate the brand, let's say.
So you are sitting here with, it's like alchemy. It's like so many other companies on the globe would be like dying to have what you have here. You have a movement with seemingly real passion and initiative coming from the grassroots of the organization. So we are going to dig in this podcast to how that came about. But can we just say a couple of words? Like if this one goes to you, Sia, why are employees, do you think, the best ambassadors for a company, for Telecom?
I think, so many companies spend so much money on having influencers. And I think that having employees as advocates of the company that they work for is something really fascinating because it makes people feel that, you're engaged in something and this is something that we're trying to do in the company, you know, leads to driving performance of the company. And sometimes we forget that it really is all about people. And we're talking about this, and this is why I love this podcast so much, because it puts people at the center. And what is so amazing with this with this initiative is that it's all about, it's creating this platform where people, no matter what their differences are, they understand there's a purpose and we stand behind the purpose of the company. We won't stop it until everybody's connected. And I love the fact that we are so diverse. I love that we are so different. And I love that together we share this energy to elevate ourselves. And it's such a passionate group and I'm fascinated in how it's grown so fast lately. And we have people from all different countries. And that is absolutely amazing. And there cannot be anything more powerful than the people that work in a company to feel that and spend extra hours outside their working days to support their brand, you know. And I think it really is a movement of love because, you know, love for each other and also love for our brand, and communicating this to the outside world is just, for me, magical.
I'm just astounded by this information. And I think we need to get to the facts so people understand it even more. Yes. But I think what you're pointing to is the togetherness that happens when a phenomenon like this kind of gets on its feet and gets moving, huh? Suddenly we are together at work. We're not feeling separate or competitive or one against the other. It's a matter of actual believable, that's what they call teamwork, right?
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with what you're saying, Hannah, to be honest. And what's amazing is that, you know, I read this research from the Harvard Review or whatever, that culture is brand, brand is culture. And what is amazing now, you know, Deutsche Telekom is becoming even bigger and stronger, especially during these turbulent times, these new realities, life is flux, everything change. And yes, it is a company with headquarters in Germany, but it is a company that has locations across all around the world. And the fact that we're becoming more and more European, embracing people's differences and not being fearful of the fact that, you know, maybe initially people might have felt fearful that I'm like foreign, I came from Greece, I'm half English, half Greek, being in the German environment. And once people understand that you don't need to feel fear of something that is different, then that creates like, you know, some, I don't know how we call it in Greek in the law, like some precedent. And then it was so much easier to accept more and more people because people really enjoyed the fact that what connects us is humanity. We might have differences in the way we're brought up or our cultures or our languages or where we're located, but together we are stronger. And this is one of our motives, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, I think you're speaking about a very important aspect, if I'm allowed to connect to that, because I think it's also a nice example of that a European company or an internationally operating company can make people also feel internationally or European-wide connected and united. That's, from my perspective, a good example of how it's possible to unite people by bringing them together. And that is also a brand is able or a company to do that, to unite people.
Yes, and I think it links so much with the business. You know, we're trying to become more diverse in the sense of nationality, genders, this and where you're from. And we are acting as example and putting a personal face to this. And I think that is magical. You know, it's not just Deutsche Telekom the headquarters, it's Deutsche Telekom across the world.
Yeah. Okay, I have to stop you guys again. You are too high on yourself here. I need some cold water. I need some... what is extraordinary, and I really mean that word when I say it, what is extraordinary to me right now is that I know that your enthusiasm that you're displaying here in the studio, this story is actually true. This stuff is happening, and there are people. How many ambassadors are there out there right now?
Around 200.
Around 200.
200
around
official
the
ambassadors.
Official.
Let's
we
say,
have the trainees.
Yeah. Because we always say every employee is ambassador of his company when he wants to. Yeah. So it's not 100% needed to be part of this community, but being part of this community is a special sign of being extraordinary, dedicated, and also willing to connect with others, feeling the same in the same way, and to interact with others in this.
So community. I still haven't really gotten to the core of like, what is it in the water in the Deutsche Telekom buildings that make you guys behave like this? But this is actually the second episode now where we are describing, for reals, a grassroots movement where people are actually spending their free time. I don't know whether I want to come work for you or not. I mean, kind of my jury's out on that. But in the meantime, you guys are spending your free time on actually walking around and communicating and connecting over the idea of your workplace. I just find it so fascinating. So take me to the core of it. If I wanted to become a telecom, like an ambassador, if I wanted to become a Magenta person, what would be the initiation? What would I have to do?
So, we have to differentiate a little bit because we generally, as we said, everybody can be an ambassador of his company by just wearing a Magenta hat or something. Everybody can do this, buy something in the Love Magenta shop or something. But there's another option to become part of the community of the ambassadors. And in this context, we give the people who want to participate in the community some tasks that allow us to integrate them into the community. So one task is like, present yourself on social media so others can learn more about you, about your personality, about your interests, about your knowledge, so others can also profit from your knowledge. They can ask you, they know in which context you can help them, for example. So it's very much about making the people accessible for each other, yeah, connecting them via chats or via newsletters or via weekly calls, etc. So all the tasks are connected or around this story, yeah, of connecting the people and asking the people how we can connect them. Yeah, for example, also asking which social media profiles do you like to use for ambassadorial activities, so we can share this profiles with others so they can connect you, they can follow you, they can interact with your content and help spreading this great content.
So if I try to kind of deduct the morale out of that story, part of what you're saying is when people are just seen, when you see their profile and they share who they are and what they know something about, this will create connectedness.
Exactly, yes.
Would you say that is central to what's happening here? That's a leading question.
I think it's one of the central aspects of connecting people. The other aspect is to show them that they are not alone. Because what we need to understand is that in the past, and also in many other companies, positive thinking people or people thinking positive about their company are not the majority. Mm. In most company, they are the minority. Yeah. So in the team, when you say, hey, well, we have a great job, we have a great company, all the other colleagues are looking at you. Are you crazy? Yeah. And that's what becomes different when you put all these people together in one room that think positive and have the same positive attitude. This high energy is expanding and multiplying. Yeah.
Oh, God, I want to get religious now. Yes, hallelujah to what you just said. So because all the percentages show, I think I heard the other day that apparently across the segment of younger people in Europe, European survey says that 35% of people between the ages of 25 and 35 have no relationship to the word meaning when it comes to their work.
Mm-hmm.
35%. That is such a scary number. That's food for another podcast for sure. Yeah. But what you're saying is that the avalanche that starts when someone stands up and says, hey, I like it. I actually enjoy what's going on. I like my company. And then that creates a dynamic, a following.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Wow. That's fantastic. Sia, what are you thinking?
No, I mean, I agree with what Alex said before. And what's wonderful here is that it gives a sense of belonging to people. You're part of a community. You feel united that there are others that share this common purpose of connecting people across the world. And it's great to have these people on board and talking about things that they feel passionate about, because, you know, they do say that, you know, people's personal stories. And this is why I think this is amazing. Like, people sharing their personal stories and why they feel passionate about what they are doing is much more impactful, isn't it, than messages coming from, you know, the corporate accounts. And this personal face to the company of Deutsche Telekom, the personal face to the brand, is something amazing. And I love the fact that we are diverse and different, and that we accept people's differences and we're not scared of people's differences. And I love the energy.
Yeah. I'm sure that that's a bold statement right there. And I think there's a lot of richness in what you just started talking about. You know, after teaching the corporate world and organizations communication for like 20 years, I just come back and back and back to this really cliche idea that sharing our stories. It sounds so boring that I've never even wanted to go there myself. But I'm like, yeah, sharing your story and getting personal and getting authentic and honest about who you actually are. It's actually the only way to real trust.
I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. And
it's so cliche, and I so totally didn't invent that. But it's like, having studied this stuff now and gotten curious about it at so many levels for so many different countries for so many years, I'm like, yeah, the solution is so simple. It's like that. Share your story. Be seen for who you are. So I'm going to have to tell our listeners right now, Sia, because they can't see you. But you are actually wearing a huge, big, fat magenta college sweater, aren't you? Like a jumper.
This is correct. This is correct.
Crazy banana test time. I want to take us to the color, because it's so funny. Because it would be different if it was navy blue, huh?
Yeah.
But so the describing the magenta, for those of you who don't know it, of course, it's a deep, dark, rich, rebellious, a juicy pink color, isn't it? It's got cheekiness to it for sure. And how, do you see the color actually playing a role, Sia or Alexander?
I definitely see a connection to the color, because it is kind of unique and special. And especially in the telecommunications or IT industry, or technology industry, when it has been invented as the corporate color of Deutsche Telekom, it was for many people like a scandal. Yeah. So the IT people thought, what do you want to give us this color? It has nothing to do with us or with technology or something. Yeah. But in the end, it was the best decision this company could have made. For selecting or choosing a color that is so special and unique. And that's why you can see it. And when you see it, it's something unique that you realize. Yeah. I think that's a good brand. What is a good brand about? Being simple and being unique. Yeah. And that's what has been created by only using a color. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. And also the consistency. It's not as though you would change that magenta color very easily now, is it?
Exactly, yeah. So the consistency over the last 30 years. So last week, it's 30 years ago that Telekom used magenta for the first time in their brand. So magenta became 30 years old, say. And yeah, that's part of the success story, I think.
I cannot imagine what it must have been like to launch that color 30 years ago. That must have been so rebellious. Well, it stands out. And that's part of this, isn't it? That it's actually striking. You will remember it. Just like I really hope that our listeners now will remember the idea of this magenta movement. So if we take it to the more kind of commercial and corporate sides of this, we are going to be discussing the idea of branding also in a different episode on this podcast coming up with a colleague of yours. But of course, we've got to go there, because this becomes branding looking from the outside in, doesn't it?
Yes. And I think, you know, as I mentioned before, I mean, I really do think that culture is brand, brand is culture. And for me, you know, I like the playful color of magenta, but for me, it's so much, it's what magenta for Telekom means for the people. And coming from the Greek entity, which has different colors, and having quite a few Greek ambassadors now on board, I think we have about 20, and being able to link together the people that have a different color and for them to also feel part of magenta is something really, really, really magical, I think, because it's not only a color, it's what is behind the color. And what is behind the color, I think, is the people and this inclusivity and, you know, acceptance of you being you, you know, you being different. And I think that was a great step that we made with Cosmo de Greece.
Exactly. I think this is a perfect example, which shows that a color can unite even when your company doesn't have this color. And in the end, it might not be only about the color, but it might be about what the color stands for. And the color stands for a positive emotion, for positive emotions and a positive attitude. And in the end, we realize that this is what unites us.
This is what unites us. And I can remember we had discussions because of the fact that we were Cosmote and we were green and blue. And how are we going to do this? But we didn't let that stand in the way. I think we also, you know, had conversations here within the different departments.
Acting like the tourist here. So looking from the outside in, what we are explaining, guys, is actually that Sia came from a Greek, a different brand with different colors. And you've been onboarded into, you're now flying under the magenta flag. Is this correct?
Yes. So Cosmote Greece, part of OTE Group in Greece, has a different brand, but is part of the magenta family of companies that we work with.
Because it's such a, it would be such a cliche story, and it doesn't seem to be happening here, but it would be such a cliche, sad story, wouldn't it? That that someone like the competing brand then would start arguing, no, 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 I want to keep my colors. Why should I have to fly under the magenta flag? The, you know, that whole story of friction?
Yes.
Why is that not happening? Can we actually even describe it?
I mean, I think, you know, we worked together with Alex here. We had lots of discussions. And I think the people wanted to be part of this. And I think it was our common purpose. And that brought us together.
Yeah. And it's, for me, it's also difficult to describe. Yeah. What's the reason for it that it works like this, that it works? But what I can only say is it works and it unites. And that's the important aspect. So people might be also the people that have decided to be part of this community. They are so open-minded to say, it's not a problem for me that Deutsche Telekom is magenta and my OTE is maybe blue or green, because it's this positivity that attracts me and that wants me being part of this community. And if you celebrate magenta, I will celebrate magenta with you. And when the OTE guys celebrate their OTE brand in blue, the telecom people also try to celebrate that. I give you an example. We had some Greek people who sent us some OTE stickers, and we put the stickers on our laptops as well, because it's also part of the Deutsche Telekom family, let's say.
There you go. So that, I think, is anchoring us into some really important stuff, which I think lie at the core of why this does seem to be working. There seems to be some principles or some philosophies underlying this that actually makes it work. And I think one of them is accepting diversity. Accept, so you would never go, get that sticker off my computer. You know, you are actually, you would go, yes, and we will include it. We will take it on board. It's going to be okay.
Exactly.
And you're saying the same, it's a bold statement, the idea of diversity. And I want to treat that word with reverence and respect, because it's an important word these days. And I think we can come back to maybe the idea of diversity and Deutsche Telekom in a deeper way. But on this level, I think the ambassadors are certainly paving the way for some diversity to take place in the company and highlighting and showing the rainbow and the possibilities that are out there, right? What else lies at the heart? To me, I'm hearing freedom. And again, the lovely, lovely idea. I mean, any company is going to be so jealous of you guys for this, actually, this movement not starting from the top management. I can sense the energy in that. What should we call that?
What I wanted to say in this context is, even when the initiative itself is not started or initiated by the management or the company, we need to appreciate that the company has done many good things that has led us to this situation, that a grassroots initiative like this could arise, and also other grassroots initiatives like learning from experts and many more at Deutsche Telekom could find place to grow. This is a precondition that we have to be really thankful for. And people did something good or something right that something like this could happen. Yeah. So that's what's always very important for me in this context.
And if I would just to add here one thing, I mean, I've been really thinking about lately about how leadership is evolving and, you know, what is the most impactful leadership for me. So what I've been thinking is, you know, we've gone from command to control to trying to work towards coaching leadership. And I think that the fact that we have been empowered by the leaders of this company to flourish like this, and that Tim Hedges has on many occasions acknowledged, I think, the ambassadors in quite a few things and put pictures of the different faces of the ambassadors, is this acknowledgement and recognition that also provides and gives us the freedom, because this could have been controlled, for example.
I think that's why I like that Hannah brought up this word of freedom, or the mentioned freedom, because that's exactly the point. What is the reason that these initiatives could grow? Because we had the freedom to do so. Yeah. We had internal social network where we could ask others, are you feeling the same? Come to us. And I was on a conference and this case was discussed, and somebody from the audience was asking Philipp Schindera, who was presenting this, he's head of corporate communications at Deutsche Telekom, and he asked him, okay, there was this Pavel Dillinger in your social network and he asked others to become ambassadors of the company. Did you ever have the thought of trying to prevent that or to forbid that? Because in my company, all the people I know, they would try to take that down and say, like, that's not allowed. You are not allowed to ask for ambassadors, because it's only a company who can name people as ambassadors.
Yeah.
And that was the interesting thing, that you see liberty or freedom is the precondition that things like this can happen.
So thank God someone's taking control of the podcast episode here, because you're actually mentioning, of course, the founding father of this movement, the Magenta movement. His name was Pavel Dillinger, am I right?
Yes, right. Yeah.
So, and the story goes, he just started, and he, like we've already established, he wasn't a very executive guy.
Exactly. He was a guy from one of the really normal employees working in the customer service, in the field service, and he decided, because for 20 years he's celebrating the brand alone. Yeah, he's doing this since 20 years, let's say. Yeah, and everybody thinks, who is this crazy guy? But everybody likes him because he's doing this in a very nice way.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's very entertaining. Yeah, to see him. And the thing that has changed is that by the time more and more people thought, like, hey, he's doing something right, and I want to do it the same. Yeah. And that's how this community grew. Yeah. Pavel was the first one who asked in the internal social network about who wants to celebrate the brand together with me, who wants to be an ambassador. I will send you a magenta sticker and you can put that on your car or on your phone or on your laptop. Don't matter where you want to put it. And let's celebrate, just celebrate brand. Yeah. And that's how it all began. Yeah.
It is just a story extraordinaire. And the idea of this guy geeking around for 20 years on his own and then just having the staying power to not stop. That I find that so fascinating. And then take me to the other extreme. If we do move up in the organizations, tell me, John Ledger, how does he come into this?
Yeah, I think John Ledger is one example of what can happen when such a magenta lover like Pavel becomes a CEO, because Pavel and John Ledger don't have much in common, but what they have in common, they celebrate both the brand magenta. Okay, John Ledger is not CEO of T-Mobile US anymore, but he was for several years, and what he managed to create, one of the biggest turnaround stories in modern economic history with T-Mobile US. T-Mobile US was a company several years ago which had a lot of issues, and it was in a very bad market situation. And by bringing back the spirit of magenta into this company and putting also the focus on the customer, he managed to have this enormous turnaround stories. And when you see pictures of him, you can Google it, you will realize he's not one of the classic CEOs walking around with a suit or something. He's walking around with a leather jacket like a rock star or something.
Yes, a rock star.
So he's a special person, and I like his style because that's what was needed in this situation in the US.
So oh my God, I feel here we are at the epitome. We are at the very core behind the whole idea of starting the human-centric podcast. Because for me, here, commerciality meets psychology and humanism, right? And we see yet again that commerciality and growing and creating, even just creating, as long as there are human beings involved, you're going to have to take on board the fact that they are human beings. And what's happened here is that you've actually, more than just realizing that people are human, we've taken on board the fact that some deeply, deeply, deep-rooted, very basic needs of human beings actually help us do better at work, like staying connected or feeling safe with each other or staying playful, which is another aspect of the magenta, isn't it? And then the John Ledger story, that just makes me go, wow.
And I think one story which makes me fascinated about ambassadors is also reading the stories connected to the customer and how we serve the customers, you know, outside of our working environment. And this, as you mentioned, how waters in the office that we have right now, we take these waters at home as we have our home office. But actually having that passion and the human face and dedication to serve the customers better, because very often we are, you know, in parties or we meet people and, you know, for some maybe something doesn't work or they have an issue or they really want to solve it, and it's going above and beyond to serve the needs of a customer. That's where the passion comes, not just for DT inside DT, but it actually goes all the way into the customer obsession and customer love. And that's what I really enjoyed about the ambassadors, and to hear all the stories that you share among each other, how to connect to the cause and purpose behind it.
So I'm just imagining now a lot of competing companies out there in the world going, darn it, I need someone like Pavel. Where can I find myself a Pavel? Yeah. Like Pavel is the new business idea.
In fact, we get really lots of requests from other companies who ask us, how did you do that? Yeah, and yeah. In the end, we always come to the same conclusion that it's very difficult to imitate that because it's kind of a unique story and it's difficult. Yeah, just
I'm an old musician as well. I've been in the music industry for years. And you guys remind me right now of being like the Sex Pistols in 1977. You know, when you disrupt something, again, it's disruption, huh, Svetlana? Mm-hmm. And when you disrupt something and it comes from an unexpected place and it comes with an unexpected energy, nothing is more fun. And then the first thing that happens is that everyone tries to copy it. Of course, people are going to try to copy it. We shall just wish them good luck with that, shan't we? Because this is something that more companies should have. And part of why I'm saying that is I think for me personally, because if it would mean that more people are happy about going to work, I don't really care if it's a color we unite under or what it is, but God, that sounds nice to me.
No, I just say that I love what you said, Hannah. So it really spoke to my heart. So sorry for jumping in there. And I really do believe that we need more people to wake up in the morning and feel inspired. And I think that is just, you know, so optimistic.
I think that's exactly the point that motivates me also engaging in all this. I know I can do something good to people because bringing the positive in their life makes them feel more proud about their work, what they do, for who they work. Yeah. And this also affects their private lives, because let's not forget that we are not two persons, we are one persons. And we know private life and business life is always interacting with each other. And when you are more satisfied in your business life, then it has a positive effect also on your overall life.
And you don't need to have a doctor's thesis to understand this stuff, you know? It's about a color, and it's about just hanging out, and it's about sharing who you are as a person. And we all know what you just said to be true, Alexandra. I find those are profound words. There's nothing saying you can be one person at work and then just separate your private life and be totally different. It doesn't work like that. And we spend so much of our life at work. And very many of us want to be someone good when we are at work. And one of the points that you're actually making, Alexander, and Sia, of course, too, is that part of the magenta movement, too, seems to me that it's about giving back. It's about generosity. There's some generosity in here. And of course, there's a lot of happiness research, pointing to the fact that giving back is one of the major keys in order to actually experience happiness in your life. So it kind of makes sense from a scientific point of view, from a commercial point of view, from a humanistic point of view. So I think if we are coming towards the end of this podcast, I give up. I can't find the crack in your story. I believe it. I'm a believer. I want to follow you. Where can I go?
So is Hannah and Svetlana accepted to the movement, Alex?
Yeah, when they follow up the task, right? Yeah, we will take you as external ambassadors. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. You must send me a t-shirt, send me a cap, send me the sneakers, I'll start. It's okay.
You will be 100% branded. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of you actually listening in, if you've never actually visited the main office in Deutsche Telekom in Bonn, which I've had the pleasure of doing, I'm not lying to you. There's actually a shop right as you enter. There's a shop selling you all kinds of equipment in the magenta color. Yeah. So it's actually happening, guys. It's for real. So we're there, aren't we? Are we feeling complete? Is there something we've forgotten to mention?
I don't know if it's relevant, but Svetlana asked or was talking about connection between being an ambassador and also doing good for the customer. And I can share one example with you, what was very eye-opening for me. In the past, often friends and relatives contacted me, but let's say in family meetings or on Christmas or on Easter, we're sitting on the table, we're eating, and then somebody was starting complaining about his telephone line or his telecom contract, something about IT problems, I don't know. And it was always the topics in every family meeting. And in the beginning, I said like, okay, I cannot help you, just try to call the hotline. But then by the time of integrating the ambassador spirit within me, it changed also how I reacted on questions and problems from friends and relatives like this, because I did not close my eyes and try to walk away or to run away from these problems. I tried to face the problems and I tried to say, okay, you have a problem, let's solve that together. When all the employees of Deutsche Telekom or of every company are trying to be so engaged in this way, they can create a real impact for the customer, because that's personal, taking care of the customer. And these people appreciate that, even when you cannot help them in your personal role because you are not a technical expert. Even when you try to help them and you try to connect them to the people that who can help them in the end, that's what they appreciate. And this is another story I experienced on the street. I was entering a supermarket near my home, and I was wearing some magenta sneakers. And the lady who was working there, who said, you have magenta sneakers. Are you working for Deutsche Telekom? And I said, yes, I'm working for Deutsche Telekom. And she said, oh, we have a problem with Deutsche Telekom. They wanted to change the contract and they had a problem about this. And I said, okay, let me take care of this. I will do it for you. And she was so thankful after all this, because I could help her and I did it, and it was not a big deal for me, that every time when I come into the shop, she smiles and says, Alexander, you are here again. How can I help you? Can I cook something for you? And feeling and receiving this kind of thankfulness is such a great present. And I feel very thankful that I changed my attitude to this, being more proactive in the situations and receiving in so much thankfulness.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So again, for anyone listening in, guys, the people we are talking to, the people I'm talking to today, they are actually representatives of a brand which is like top 25 on the planet. So something is obviously working here. And what you're also mentioning is, of course, the recognizability of a code like a bright color, and then the connectedness to the idea of the inside somehow having this ambassador movement that makes people take care of each other, and then that being translated to the outside world where the customer meets it too. So that's truly amazing. And thank you very much, guys, for taking the time to come on over here. I guess you have to go out and find some new recruits now, huh?
We have two new ones, you guys, already.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in and taking the time.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
to find out the deeper meaning of talent and its human aspects in business environments, subscribe to the Human Centric Podcast and stay tuned.